1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. There's no need for that, Brother Brad. All right, verse 8, here we go. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Father, I need you. I pray you'd help me, Lord. Help me say exactly what you'd have me to say, Lord. I don't want to offend anybody, Lord. That's never my intention to do. Forgive me if I have because of not preaching what you want me to, but saying something just that I shouldn't have. Forgive me for that, Lord. I pray you would help me. Give me the words to speak, the words not to say. Help me just stop talking if that's what's needed. And God, I pray you'd help us to be useful vessels. Help us to learn from these examples you've given of people's lives. God, that lived in another time, but still faced trials, tribulation, fears, worries. Lord, help us to learn from them and realize that they were just like us. They weren't supernatural, that they had a special ability to do it, Lord, any different than us. Help us to serve you the same as well. And just go forward by faith, Lord, even when it means doing the hard things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are looking here. We've looked at Elijah, and now we're going to look at this lady known as the widow woman. Again, I want us to remember that God will provide for his people, especially when we're in desperate situations, when we trust him and demonstrate that trust through obedience. God will provide for us. That's always a hard spot to be, though. No one ever wants to be there. I never want to be there. When I've been there, having gone through it, I'm glad. I'm like, praise the Lord. God did an amazing thing. That was awesome to see God provide. But when I'm walking into it, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't like my back against the wall and just having to trust the Lord. But we're so foolish that we don't follow God like we should. So God sometimes puts us in those situations or whatever the case may be. And we're going to face hard times. We're going to face trying times. And look, if we put our faith in God and faith in his word and we just obey him, God will provide for us. Now, it may not be the way that you want, but God will provide if we trust him. And that's part of living by faith, is recognizing what God is doing and how he's doing it and being okay with that. So, just like with Elijah, our testing started with the word of God. And if we let God, he will use us to help others and build our faith. You know, in the midst of your trial or whatever it is you may be going through, God can use you to help somebody else and build your faith at the same time. And by the way, build their faith. Or bring them to salvation, as we'll see with this lady right here. I believe she was lost. I'll give you the reasons why I believe she was lost. Some could argue with me, and that's fine. I'll give you a reason why I say against it. But... you know, God's spoken to lost people before. Here's an example right here, I believe, okay? He says in verse 9, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God was speaking to her. So you could say, well, see, she was saved. Yeah, but God's spoken to lost people before. Look at Cornelius. He wasn't saved. And God told him, hey, go send for Peter. He needs to come talk to you. He wasn't saved yet. Peter brought that message to him, but God spoke to him. God delivered a message to him. I forget which one it was, which king it was, Belshazzar maybe, where God spoke to him through the hand on the wall, the writing on the wall. He's a lost man. God spoke to him. I mean, so just because God speaks to somebody doesn't mean that they are saved. Okay, so I believe this woman's lost, but we'll get to that. Again, I want us to understand, if we let God use us, and we obey Him, we can help others and build our faith. That's our Christian life. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to continually use us to help others. I mean, God wants to use you to help others and build your faith at the same time. So it's not like it's just an either or. I mean, if we can look at situations we're going through, sometimes we ask, why am I going through this? If we could just maybe back up and understand, maybe God's trying to grow me through this. God wants me to grow in this area. And then if we would see that, then we could say, and now how can I help someone else as I'm going through this? Because we have to really fight that. It's probably always been, but I feel like it's more so today with the self-centeredness, the narcissism that our society faces. I mean, just, you know, look at all the selfies that somebody puts on their, you know, their profile, whether it be for Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be. Just look at all the selfies that are there. You think, well, I'm not stuck on myself. Well, how come there's like 400 pictures of you? You know, maybe with somebody else, but there's 400 pictures of you. And, you know, like 2 pictures of other people, 3 pictures of other people. Look, I mean, I get it. We all take selfies, okay? I mean, I was joking. If Jesus came here, you know, I'm like, selfie with Jesus, you know, I'm for sure, I'm taking that one, okay? I want that, all right? I hope that doesn't sound blasphemous because I mean it. If he was here, I'd be like, I want to, if he's coming and leaving, I want a picture with him, amen? You know, I mean, that's just how I am. But look, in our society today, the focus is all about us. It's all about us. If it feels good, do it. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. All that type of stuff. It's just, if I like it, I'm going to do it. Now, I get it's always been like that, but it's even, I feel like it's amplified, magnified today. And we can see that in the Bible. Let's go to, I want to say 2 Timothy 3 is where we want. There we go. 2 Timothy 3:1. I'm just going to start reading. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look at all that. They're going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be covetous. It's all about me. I want, I want, I want. They're going to boast. That's bragging on yourself. Proud. It's me. What about me? And because of all that, why wouldn't blasphemy fit right in there with that? Because it's about me. Who cares what God says? It's about me. So we really have to watch this thing about the focus on self. And it has to turn, especially as a Christian, to serving others. How can, even though I may be going through this trial, how can I help someone else? And we have to look at it like that. Because God will use us throughout our lives. It's not just like, okay, you know, I remember thinking that when I was going through the Bible Institute, I'd say, I can't wait till I get into ministry. Not realizing that I already was in ministry. And I kind of knew that, but not really. See, I thought when I was working a full-time job and I was teaching Sunday school classes and picking up kids on the bus and preaching in the junior church and doing all these things, I thought that was, I don't know what I thought, but it wasn't ministry. And then I got in the ministry, okay, and I realized, man, I'm doing the same things I was doing then. I was in ministry. So it's a life thing. You're in it right now. You're in it right now, so who can you help? Who can you bring closer to the Lord, even though you're going through things? Well, you don't know what I'm going through, okay. But let's not be lovers of our own selves, proud, boasters, heady, high-minded, all that stuff. Let's not be that. Let's start turning the focus instead of inward, outward. I get we got to work on ourselves because if we're not right, we can't help others. So make your walk with God strong. Confess your sin. Get that stuff right so you can be a blessing to others. We have to be willing to do that. We have to allow God to use us so we can help others. God has a way of pushing us beyond what we think we can handle. 1 Kings 17:11 says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I mean, that's dire straits right there. This is last meal. It's not even good. I'm not getting like a fat, juicy steak, nothing like that. I mean, I'm getting a pancake. I mean, that's what she's getting right there. It's not even as good as a pancake, I don't think you could say. I mean, it's meal, it's probably cornmeal just broken up, or wheat just broken up, and then a little oil to mix in to make a patty out of it, and this is me, mine and my son's last meal. I don't know how much it was, a handful. That's not going to make a lot of food. Like a handful. I don't know who says this stuff. I think they say your stomach's as big as your hand. That is nonsense, because I've eaten way more food than that, okay? I don't know what they're talking about right there. I can fit way more food in my stomach than that. I'd be hungry. I'd be starving still just eating whatever that makes into. I don't know how flat it would get. I imagine it wouldn't be like the size of a tortilla, maybe. I mean, that's it. This is what she says that is left there. And God has a way of pushing us beyond what we think we can handle. God will do it. I mean, he'll put you in a situation where you're like, we can't do this. And he does it. Because where they were at, there's this, what? This, she's like, this is all I've got. I can't even make you a cake. She said, I have not a cake. Now, it's not like a cake like we think of today. But it'd be like a bigger piece of bread, you know, like a loaf of bread, something like that is what it would be speaking of. She said, I don't have that. I've got a flapjack for you. Here's our last tortilla. That's all we've got, and we're going to eat it and then die. Starve to death. Everything else gone. Gone. And God says, wait a minute. I prepared a widow woman there for you. You think that was easy for Elijah? I mean, come on. We think because this is Elijah. I mean, of course it was easy for him. Well, look at what happened. Go through. I hope you read the rest, but go through and read what happens in chapter 18, chapter 19, when, you know, after that great victory he has in chapter 18, and then, what's her name, Jezebel, that wicked woman, comes after him, and he's running scared. Running scared after he just stood up against 800 prophets of Baal, 850 prophets of Baal. He just stood against them by himself, and now he's running from one woman. Watch out right there. Ladies, you can run your husband. I'm telling you right now, you can. And not even, maybe you don't even recognize it. You can run your husband. Just if he wants to do something and you just are down about it and you don't have just a good spirit about it, he's going to see that and he's going to be like, he'll just pull back from things. And you can control your whole home like that without being a loudmouth woman like we think of. You can control your whole home that way. You kids can too. Just throw a fit about every little thing and never be content with what your parents want and what your parents say. And you can, to some degree, direct the home. You can make the house miserable. I mean, a living nightmare to be in. I mean, you've been there when you're listening to your parents fight with your brother or your sister, and it's not you the one that's in it. And I mean, the whole house, it's like, you know, everyone's like walking around like, you know, just on eggshells, pins and needles, to stay away and avoid that situation. And that's how it is. And you can run your home like that. And late wives, you girls, you're going to be wives one day, Lord willing. You can run your home. I like what Brother Potter said. He says, there's always a honcho or a hunches when there's problems in a church, a hunches. I was like, what? The first time he said that, I was like, what? What did he just say, a hunches? And then I was like, oh, when he said honcho, then I put it together. I was like, oh, okay, a lady trying to run the show. And oftentimes, look, when there's strife within a church body sometimes, and it seems like it's coming from a man, it's not always, and it's usually not. It's a woman behind that man saying, we're not going to do that. But she's doing it at home. And then he'll speak up and say something, but it's not him. Ladies, you can run your home and you can ruin it. If you're the head of your home, it's already in trouble. Now, I get sometimes, look, that maybe your husband isn't what he should be and you have to lead spiritually. I understand that. Keep doing that. You have to. But you still can't take the headship from that. You have to obey God in what God wants you to do. But you can't take authority from your husband. And I understand that's going to be difficult. That'll be hard. But look, that's why it's important to marry right. Can I just say that? Amen. Just marry a saved man that not just he says he's saved. Not just somebody that says they're saved, but somebody that's sold out for God and loves God. Someone that's going to force you to grow. That's what you want to look for. Someone that's already going running after God. Not somebody you have to drag to Jesus. Somebody that already has enough character to be in church and to be serving God, to be loving God. That's what you want to look for. You say, well, I don't see any guys like that. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Start praying. Amen. You have not because you ask not. Amen. Start praying. Start asking. If your husband's not like that, start praying. You have not because you ask not. Start praying for it. But look, just marry right. And you can avoid so much heartache, a potential divorce. Nobody wants that. So just listen to what you're being taught, what you're being told, what your parents say. Your parents see things that you don't. I'm telling you, just listen to them. All right, so this lady, she's in a position. She's like, we're about to eat our last meal, and God's just pushing her. He's saying, I want you to see some things. I'm going to show you some things, and Elijah's going to see some things as well. God's going to use Elijah. God's building up Elijah's faith. We looked at that last time we were here a few weeks ago, how God was building up Elijah for that battle he's about to go into and face those 850 prophets of Baal. But God's at work in his life, and he's at work in her life. See, he's using the saved person to build up their faith, to help the lost person to build up their faith. I mean, it's all working together just through the process of life, just as life takes place. Ministry isn't just like something we do on Sundays and Saturdays and Wednesdays. No, it's life. Ministry is life. Live it out. I mean, man, we went to the gas station yesterday, and I pull up to the gas station, and you know, the spots are all taken, so I have to back in. So I turn like this. The pump is right here, and I come in over like this, and I turn like this, and I'm going to back in. And this lady, She came around this way, and she sees me going like this and about to back in, and she pulls up, she passes the pump right here and goes to this one and blocks me. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I'm like, this lady. And I stay there for a while. I'm like, maybe she'll get the hint and back up. She doesn't, so I'm like, all right. So I drive around, and I come to the pump she should have gone to. Okay, and then she gets out. She's looking at her gas, and I pull up, and she looks at us, and she just goes like that. And I'm just like, oh, I just had to look down because I'm like, I don't want to give her a bad look. I'm already like annoyed with this lady. And that's what I had to do because I didn't want to give her a dirty look. And I just don't want to do that. So we have to watch those things sometimes. We have to watch how life is everywhere. Ministry's everywhere. And I may knock on that lady's door and she's like, I remember you. You were that jerk at the gas station that was giving me those dirty looks. I don't want that said. I do not want that said. Even with lost people, God will seek them out, but won't force them to follow him. Look, he sends a preacher to her home, but he's not going to force her to follow him. He won't. He sends him there. Look at John 6:66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They stopped walking with the Lord because of what he was teaching. That's too hard. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And from that time, they went back and walked no more with him. This is too much. Can't handle this. I'm not going to do that. Mark 10, 21 and 22. The rich young ruler, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Look, the Lord delivered the message to him. But when he heard what was required, see, I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. When he told him repentance was required, it says that he went away grieved. He was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus hit him with his God, with his false God. He nailed him on his sin. He said, you've got to turn from that. And the young man wasn't willing to do that, but he went away grieved. See, God doesn't force anybody to come to salvation. He'll present it before you, he'll put it before you, and he'll give you the option of whether or not you want to receive it. And that's what he's doing with this lady right here. He's not forcing himself down her, but he's putting her in a position where she can see the truth and she can accept it. And he's using some things to build her faith. I mean, think about what she thought the next day after that same day after she made for Elijah first, because he told her, hey, right there, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. He says, wait a minute, take care of me first. I thought you just said, don't be selfish and self-centered. I imagine he's obeying what God told him to do. That's what I would say. He said, make me first and then make for you and your son. That's how God works. He says, obey me first and then I'm going to show you. Amen. She had to trust. She had to do it by faith. God was teaching her something. It had to be by faith first. Make me first and then go and do for you and your son what you had intended to do originally. And she's got to be thinking in her head, this guy's crazy. This makes no sense to what this guy is saying, because I'm going to make him food and there's going to be nothing left for us. Wouldn't you be thinking that? I mean, she knows she's getting that little bucket there and she's just a little pottery, whatever it was. And this is him and there's nothing left for me. That's got to be what she's thinking. That's what I would be thinking. I'm like, what? Why don't we make for us first? And then if there's anything left, we'll give the stranger, the visitor here. That's what I would be thinking. God shows His love for all, even a Gentile, when Christ referenced her. In Luke 4:26, He references this lady right here. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. God loves all, for God so loved the world. The word of God is what brings faith and can help a lost soul. Verse 13, He said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Verse 14, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The word of God. They had to build their faith in the word of God. And that's what He pointed her back to, amen. That's what we point lost people to. Well, the word of God says this. I don't recognize that. It's okay. The word of God says this. It is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. He alleviates her fears through the promise of God's word. And God is using this whole circumstance, this whole situation, to bring this woman to salvation. Let me tell you why I believe she's lost. First off, she's a Canaanite. Those weren't God's people. Those were actually God's enemies. They were supposed to destroy them all. The lady shouldn't have even been there. But they were disobedient, and they were a thorn in their flesh ever since that time. We just, you know, all that stuff going on, that's because they didn't get rid of them. They didn't obey God. She's a Canaanite. And she tells Elijah in verse 12, And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth. She didn't say, My God, thy God. And then you come over to verse 24, And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. I believe that she got saved after. Is that where he raised her son from the dead? Yes. He raised her son from the dead. And she said, Now I know. She'd seen all that. Think about everything she'd seen day in and day out for whatever, however long it was, probably a couple years at least, of that barrel of meal and the cruse of oil not failing. And she sees that day in and day out. And God's providing enough. Maybe they could eat as much as they wanted all day, or maybe it was just once a day. I don't know how it worked. But however, God sustained them all through that time. And she knows, I'm not going and getting this anywhere. This man of God, he can't just pull it out of thin air. God's doing this. She's seeing that take place every day, day in and day out, day in and day out. And yet she still doesn't trust the Lord as her Savior till her son dies and Elijah shows up. And she's like, is this why you came to? Why you saved us just for my son to die? And then he you know, prays to the Lord and the Lord raises him back to life. And then she makes that statement in verse 24. Now I know that the word coming out of your mouth is from the Lord. That's why I believe she's lost, and that's where I believe she gets saved, is there in verse 24, right there at that time. It's through obedience to God's word we can help others, and God will use us, use that, our obedience to Him, to save the lost. Verses 15 and 16. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Look at that. She's just seeing it lived out day in and day out. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah. There's a literal fulfillment right there. What God said was going to happen is exactly what happened. And she got to witness it. She got to be a part of it. And God used that to bring her along. But let me just say, she had to be willing to give what she had. This is where a lot of Christians stop short. I'm talking saved people now. They're not willing to give God what they have. They say, nope, this is mine. I'm going to keep it for me. For her to see the miracle, she had to give it all. All of it. She said, go make for me first and then do as thou hast said. Christians, what are you keeping back from God? What won't you give Him? She had to give it all. Is it your fear of doing something? Is it your fear of soul winning? Is it your fear of what family may think, what friends may think? I mean, what is it that you're holding on to and you won't give it? That you're embarrassed to stand for the Lord, whatever it may be? Your time? Say, no, this is my time. What is it? Because for her to see God work in a mighty way, she had to give it all. If we want to see God work in a mighty way right here and in this city, then we have to give it all. Jesus said to this rich young ruler, He said, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. See, he said, you get saved when you just sell what you have. Get rid of your idols right there is what he was saying. Give it to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then you'll have salvation. But the next step, he told them, is where discipleship steps in. Are you a disciple of the Lord? Here's what he said next. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And that's where a lot of Christians are at. They've sold whatsoever that thou hast. They've repented and come to the Lord, trusted Him as their Savior. They've done that. And that's where they're at. And I'm telling you, your Christian life is done if you're going to stop right there. It's done. You won't lose your salvation, but you won't grow. God won't use you. I'm just telling you, you're just done. It's going to dry up. Just like that river, the brook Cherith, dried up. That's where you're at. Because Jesus went and said farther. He said, and come, take up the cross and follow me. What is the cross? We think of the cross and we're like, oh, you know, it's just some holy special thing, right? Now put yourself back in Jesus' day, first century Jerusalem, being ruled by the Roman Empire. What did a cross represent? Death. That'd be like saying today, you know, take up your electric chair. Well, we wouldn't think, wow, the electric chair. We wouldn't do that. We'd be like, man, that's pretty gruesome. What's he talking about? Take up our electric chair. Take up your death. Die to self. Die to self. That's what he's talking about. Take up your cross and follow me. That's where Christians stop short because they're not willing to give it all. This lady gave it all. What are you holding on to? What won't you give God? Is it your future, young people? Say, no, 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 these are my plans. This is what I'm going to do. And God's saying, that's not what I want for you. Give it to me. I'll make it better. She had to be willing to give it all. Because she obeyed God, he met their needs in a desperate, life-threatening situation. They got to live it out. They saw it. God used her to meet physical needs, and he used Elijah to meet spiritual needs. Somebody taught me this a few years ago. They said, don't rob someone of being a blessing. If someone wants to give you something or do something for you, you know, most of us in our American pride, you know, we want to say, we're like, no, 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 I'll take care of that. I can do it. I can take care of it myself. And I mean, I still fight that sometimes, but now I'm learning to just let people be a blessing. Let them help. Let someone do something for you. It's okay to let them do that. Let somebody be a blessing. God used this woman to meet his physical needs. He could have said, but I'm the man of God. And you could have starved to death as the man of God had he not let this lady feed him and take care of him. I mean, how humbling. He didn't have a home. He just traveled wherever God told him. Anybody want to sign up for that one? You know, not me. No thanks. If God told me, Lord willing, I'd go. But it's not necessarily something I want to do. But he didn't have a home and he had to rely on this lady and a Canaanite at that, a Gentile at that to take care of him. And he could have been thinking, God, what are you thinking? You sent me to this lost woman? I'm going to stay with this lost woman and her son? She met his physical needs and Elijah met her spiritual needs. Everything that God said was going to pass came to pass. Are we willing to trust God when it makes no sense? When she had to go and make that food and said, hey, make it for me first and then you can make it for you and your son. And when she emptied that thing out and she's like, sure, I'm going to make it for me and my son. Wouldn't you be thinking that? Would you? I mean, that's exactly what I would be thinking as I dumped out the meal on the table and I'm like, well, that's it. Go to make it. Cook it up. Here's your food, man of God. I mean, this is probably the attitude I would have. I'm just being honest with you how I would be. I'd be like, there you go. Let me go make myself some food now and go back. And then you're like, what? I mean, I imagine she probably fell down and started crying. Say, there is food. And just rejoicing. Are we willing to trust God when it doesn't make sense? Are you? Will you trust God when He asks you to do something that goes against everything you're feeling inside? See, this is why doctrine's so important. We follow doctrine, not feelings. Amen. Look, if I followed feelings, we would not have done what we did last week. Amen. Wouldn't have happened. I promise you right now. Because my feelings were fighting hard. We follow doctrine. We follow feelings. We have to follow God by faith. If we'll let God use us and obey Him, He will provide for us. I believe this lady got saved there at verse 24 of chapter 17. For the saved and the lost alike, it all starts with what are we going to do with God's word? Jesus said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said to Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Where are we going to go? Where will we go? Are you willing to trust God? Let's pray. Father,